Well, the book of Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, we just did that last week, but Solomon, King Solomon. You can write in your notes here, or put on your Bibles there, Diary of a Backslidden Christian. This is a person who was given all wisdom. This is a person, again, that was given wisdom. He was given great amounts of knowledge, and God granted him wisdom so he could govern the kingdom there. But wisdom, listen, wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge that you have. Knowledge. A tomato is actually a fruit. Right? It's not a vegetable. It's a fruit. That's knowledge. Wisdom, you know not to put it in the fruit salad. Are you right? Alright, so here, this is the diary of a backslidden Christian or tomato and fruit salad. You whatever you want. That's what's happening here. From chapter 1, we'll go through chapter 1 here and all the way through chapter 12. And in between, this is not doctrine. This is not teaching. You can't take from the book of Ecclesiastes doctrine. It is Holy Spirit. It is divine. God has allowed and wanted Solomon to write this down for all of us to see and to learn from. But it is not doctrine. Ecclesiastes 10:19 says, make a meal for laughter. Wine makes life merry, but money is the answer for everything. That's not doctrine. You gotta say, well, it's in the Bible. You can't be tattooing that on you and all that kind of stuff. So here's the thing. Solomon came to his senses and repented. If you want notes, 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. He finally comes to his senses. First of all, there should never have been a king. Never. 400 years before they asked for a king, God was telling Moses in Deuteronomy 17, now when they come into the land, they're going to ask for a king. Moses is receiving the law. So what are you talking about? You just delivered them. Miraculous. Why would they want a king? Look what you just did for them. He says, yeah, right, Mo. Listen up. They're going to want a king. Now, when they want a king, he's not to have many wives. He's not to, you know, gather and consume many horses or many horses for an army and chariots. Gold and silver, all these things. When the king, his responsibility will be to daily read the Word of God. Every year the king, Deuteronomy chapter 17, every year the king was commanded to read the Word of God to his people. To have it, to do that. The priests were to be doing it. So if you have that, so remember, for those of you here Thursday night for our study in Mark, it's not what a person does, it's what they don't do. Alright? The accident that happened. Well, that happened. But why? Well, we can go back and you say, well, if I would have turned left, would have done this, would have done that, would have paid attention, would have been texting and driving. There was an incident. There was something that happened. Look, the tragedy was already set in place. The Titanic. Great example. That ship was doomed the day the plans were drawn up. Inferior steel, rushed the job, incompetent captain. That ship was doomed to crash before it ever hit the ocean there. And so that's the whole thing. That's the outcome of things that they did not do. They did not slow down. It's the same thing that we're going to see here as I got this petition going around. The city of St. Paul. They're not thinking themselves through. They're like, well, you got these elected officials, all these kinds of things. That's true. But economically, can any of us, I mean, let's just look at this building over here. Can we say, let's tear it down? Build this thing, lose all these parking spaces, do all this stuff for something that's just going to be for 2.5 months? When there could be something there year-round and bring in income and bring more people back to downtown St. Paul? And wouldn't that be beneficial? Again, we're just trying to, what do we know, right? We only live here. So that's the whole thing that just goes down. So here's the same thing. The king also, when you read through Ecclesiastes, he's just representative of the culture and of the people that day. King was no different. The king was supposed to be different. The king was supposed to, again, because he was not reading the Word of God. Just as I was saying on Mark chapter 3 on Thursday night, 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. You're not going to do these things, especially in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you do not do these things. If you do these things, add to your knowledge in Jesus Christ, faith and godliness and self-control and contentment. If you add these things with increasing measure, it will keep you from being ineffective, unproductive, unfruitful. So if I'm unproductive, if I'm unfruitful, if I'm down, depressed, look, it's what you're not doing. It's not what you're about. So that's just going to be the end result. Just like the Titanic, just like the other things. Just like when John F. Kennedy Jr. decided to crash his plane in the ocean there. He didn't just decide that at that moment. It started back. The National Transportation Safety Board, I read accidents like this because I'm a pilot. That tragedy happened the day he started taking flying lessons because they go all the way back to his instructor. They want to know what all the reasons. Now look, this is a pilot, an inexperienced pilot in a very high-tech, complicated airplane that had all the gadgets that should have made him arrive at his destination. But he had knowledge, but he had no wisdom. He didn't know how to apply. He didn't know how to work those things. So the night that I heard that he crashed, I said, how many hours does he have? He just became a newly minted pilot. You get your pilot's rating about, 50, 60 hours. He had under 100 hours of flight time. He has no nighttime flying experience, flying at night, flying over an ocean, no horizon, in clouds, and then they tracked his through the radar, him spiraling, going out of control, trying, you can tell where he was trying to regain the plane, and he crashed. That tragedy happened before that night took off late. Everything set in place that he shouldn't have done. That happened well and ahead of time because he did not have a healthy fear or respect for the plane, for those things. I can say that as a pilot. It's obvious. And so the National Transportation Safety Board, they go all the way back to his instructor, to the very flight school that he took flights at, to the aircraft manufacturer. They want to check out the instructor. This is the thing about this. How many of this other students that this instructor taught, how many of them crashed? How many of them had problems? What happened there? Why did not this instructor do to John F. Kennedy Jr. what was my instructor did to me when I had like 12, 13 hours of flight time? Hey, look at me. I'm a pilot. I'm better than Orville and Wilbur Wright. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And he goes, oh, you think you can fly the plane? Yeah. He takes his hands off. And I'm like, ah, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Help, 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 help. That guy gave me a healthy fear and respect of an airplane. And so here's the thing. I wasn't flying the airplane. It was flying me. And so here's the thing, folks. Ecclesiastes. Solomon finally comes to his senses, had all the things, had everything monetarily. And remember what is, we're going through Ecclesiastes, understand, we'll get to Proverbs and Psalms. But understand Ecclesiastes, this is all of man's wisdom. This is the sum total of all of man's wisdom. Because over 20 times, what are we going to hear Solomon make a conclusion? There's nothing new under the sun. Let's look at chapter 1 here. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. And this word preacher is translated debater. Debater. He's debating. You ever had that argument with yourself and you still lose the argument? This is that debater. He's having this debate internally. Vanities of vanities, or worthless, worthless, or useless, useless. Saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? There should be. Hey, look, if you have no purpose for work, if you have no purpose for doing those things, it's going to seem useless. What is my purpose for getting up in the morning? To pay taxes? We're doing a lot of that. What's my purpose for being at this job? What's my purpose of being in this relationship? It's useless and it's vanity if there is no purpose. And that is going to be the wisdom of Solomon. And so we're going to see here that we get this. Look, verse 4, one generation passeth away, another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. There it is. This is like the ox is slow, but the earth is patient. I mean, this, you're talking nonsense. Yes, the earth is always going to be there. This is things that are always happening here. Go with me to verse 12 of chapter 1. The preacher was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This source of travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, saying, Lord, that's really bad. Jeremiah 17:9 really just pops off in my head here. For the heart is wicked and deceitful and desperately sick, and who can know it? You know, full of sin. So understand here in verse 13, what did he do? He lost his heart to knowledge. Oh, he misplaced his heart. No, he gave his heart. Just like the church in Ephesus in Revelation, they did not lose their first love. They left it. Dropped it off right here. They left it. So we see this in Ecclesiastes, this prodigal. Again, we can see the analogy of the prodigal son who leaves. The father's just waiting for him. He's coming back, talking to his senses. There's that prodigal son. you know, slopping the hogs and says, these pigs, for a Jewish boy to be, you know, feeding pigs, one thing, but the food they're eating is better than what I'm getting. What am I doing here? That's what we call reaching your bottom. Amazes me when people don't reach their bottom. I think, you know what, for me, that would have been my bottom, but you got to go further than that? Here's Ecclesiastes. Here's Solomon. Wow. From chapters, 2 through 11. Wow. You really had to do that? When he says he's experienced all, what do you mean? What do you think all means? All of it. Excellent Bible students there. So it tells us here that he gave his heart to search out these things. And he says, well, that's what man's supposed to do. No. He's going to come to a conclusion there at the end there. But verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. See, you're not going to get doctrine from this teaching. You can just say, hey, you know, that was crooked. Look, I was crooked. I was a crook. I was crooked. I was made straight. You know, those who were numbered and found wanting, you can change. We see that through Jesus Christ. There is things. If you read Ecclesiastes, well, there's no hope, there's no use, might as well. And that's Solomon right now. He's just down and depressed. Look at verse 16. I commune with my own heart. There's your problem. That's the blind leading the blind. When you get together with other people just like you, and you're trying to figure out the answers to life, that's the blind leading the blind. But when you forget all the other people and you just commune with your own heart, do you realize the situation you're in right now and the way that you're feeling right now is because of your own heart? Your own wisdom? Well, you know, I think that's the problem. That's your first problem. You see, you're already set to destruction right there. I think, yes, you did. You outthunk yourself out of peace that goes by all understanding. You outthunk yourself of tranquility and relationship with the Lord. You outthunk yourself. You're a great thinker. Well, let's look at Solomon. You see, he's the wisest of all men. It's just like sitting on the couch. This one comedian talking about sitting on the couch and he's there eating string cheese. And he's watching public television. Guess fishing wasn't on. But he's watching public television. And the guy's talking about string theory. And he's just the whole thing. He's like, eating string cheese and potato chips. Watching this egghead talk about string theory, not understanding it. And then he makes this joke. You know, not even Einstein could figure out string theory. And then he had a revelation. He says, if Einstein can't figure out string theory, what hope do I have when I can't even figure out the theory of, and what's behind how you even make string cheese? What hope do I have? Let's turn to the fishing channel. You understand? I mean, this is this whole thing that it comes down to is this. He was the wisest of all men. And yet, what did it get him? What hope do you and I have if we think that we're going to think and search out these things and to do these things and try to find out what makes evil evil? And he lost himself. You know, he had peace in his kingdom. After him, there's all types of wars that happened, but 40-some years of peace. He was given, and it says, look, in Deuteronomy 17, says you're not to amass gold or silver, wives, horses, and what does Solomon do? All of those things. 1,000 wives. Started securing his border and his kingdom through marrying the king's daughters and saying, well, they won't attack, and having a harem and doing those things. Over and over again, that is not wise. He has knowledge, but he wasn't able to apply that knowledge. So I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all that have ever been before me in Jerusalem. Yes, my heart had great experiences of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that which is also a vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. How do we unlearn the atom bomb? I mean, the bomb that we dropped in World War II, two bombs. We had the third one for Tokyo, but Hiroshima, then Nagasaki 3 days later, and then finally the Japanese surrender. Third one was going for Tokyo. How do you unlearn the atom bomb now? You've got that knowledge. Once you see something on the internet, or once these things, how do you remove that? And so these are the things. Understand what happened on May 9th, 2013, here in Minnesota. That there was the votes taken. And then by the House and the Senate. And by Tuesday, May 14th, with a stroke of a pen, our whole world changed in the state of Minnesota. And I'm going to tell you how. And this is where knowledge. This is man's wisdom. When you do not do the Bible, when you have spent a lifetime relegating and getting away from the Word of God, it will lead, the only thing you have left is man's wisdom. May 14th, that's when, for those of us who believe, that marriage can only be the union of one man and one woman as God designed it, were legally declared bigots by law. Legally declared bigots, punishable by law if we dare to live out our faith in the public square. If you believe marriage is one man and one woman, and that's the way God's designed it, you are now punishable by law. You are a bigot, and I'll tell you how. On May 9th, the Minnesota House of Representatives passed the same-sex marriage bill, followed by the Minnesota Senate on May 13th. Governor Dayton then signed the same-sex marriage law into law on May 14th. Same-sex marriages will begin in the state of Minnesota on August 1st of this year. Mayor Chris Coleman, the same one who wants to have that building tore down, by the way, and only use it for 2.5 months for a St. Paul State Stadium. Keep signing that petition, go it around. That mayor declared, along with Governor Dayton on the Wabasha Street Bridge, the bridge to marry. Now, that meant to the same-sex marriage. I'm just an old St. Pauler. I'm thinking the West Side. Well, that's Catholic. That must be the bridge to Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, why are they? Oh, then I saw all those rainbow-colored flags over it. I stayed far away because I thought, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone was going to come down. So I just kind of stood there like, God, you know, but it's not. And I don't know why, you know, the bridge to Mary's coming out of the West Side to the Capitol. Now I see it's going the other way. And there was, and all this celebration going on in downtown, and everyone, woohoo, this is wonderful, and May 14th, and we got the right to marry and stuff like that. Really? Even though, look, the battle was lost there. It was lost well before people not voting for one man, one woman to be on our state constitution. This was well planned. How did this go so fast? People are thinking, well, we'll have another chance again to maybe vote on one man, one woman being in our state's constitution. No. They were ready, folks. And before that, I kept telling them, you follow the money. Follow the money. Who's putting all the money into this same-sex marriage in all the other states? In Iowa, in Maine, Virginia, where's the money? There's a lot of money that's going to make sure people, these states go same-sex marriages here. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I think that should be a good song. And despite the fact that the majority of the legislators have ignored, I still believe in the petitioning process that's coming around, folks. I still believe, even though they might ignore it, they have to go over our signatures. They have to go over my body. They have to go over these things, my protest. The legalized gay marriage. Listen, this is what it means. Now, this was all about same-sex marriage, right? That's all you ever heard. One man, one woman in our Constitution, make that sound like that. Folks, you really need to read the bills before they come out, and I try to get this information out. But what this means right now for churches, this means that while churches, pastors, and church-related religious organizations will not be forced to participate in same-sex marriage ceremonies, all of the rest of us in the pew will be forced to affirm same-sex marriage or suffer the consequences if we don't for businesses involved with the wedding industry. Florists, caterers, photographers stand to be fined as discriminators if they decline providing their services to a same-sex wedding regardless of their religious beliefs. Don't we have rights where it says I have the right to refuse service to anyone but homosexuals? I mean, it's law now, folks. If you decline because maybe you don't like what they are or something like that, you will be punishable by law. Licensed professionals risk losing their licenses from the state if they do not recognize same-sex marriages as the moral, legal, and social equivalent of traditional marriages, regardless of their religious beliefs. Just like that couple in Maine where same-sex marriage was legalized in Maine, and they had a bed and breakfast in, and they refused to people who weren't even married. You're not married? You can't stay in our bed and breakfast in. That's it. If you know anything about bed and breakfasts, they don't make any money anyways. You have to have a love for them, okay, to have strangers in your house all the time. Well, that's being a pastor. But understand this, is that they lost their bed and breakfast because a homosexual couple was there, and they said, we don't want you. Not just that you're not married. And then they came back and said, well, we're married now. Well, we're not for that. They lost. How are you going to defend that if someone just accuses you of that? Businesses that offer employees spousal benefits will be forced to offer those benefits to gay spouses as well, regardless of their owner's religious belief. Hobbytown just lost their bid. with the Supreme Court won't even hear it because they don't want the Obamacare and they don't want to provide contraception or sterilization or abortions in their health benefits that the Obamacare says now it's mandated. It doesn't matter. And then now they're going after the Catholics as well in St. Joseph's hospitals. Can you imagine a Catholic hospital performing abortions? But it's going that way. Under the law, under the Obamacare that takes effect the first of next year, that's law. And that's what they're trying to fight right now. But here's the worst of it all, folks. Here's the worst of it all. The worst of it all is that there is a anti-bullying legislation that was put in to this marriage amendment, to the same-sex marriage. Wait a minute, what does anti-bullying and safe schools have to do with people wanting to be married? Listen up, for those of you who have your kids in public school, for those of you who have kids in public school, normally you've been able to, when sex education or topics that you don't like your kids to say, I just don't think they're ready for right now, by law, you will not be able to remove them from the class. And if you do, you can be called an abuser and you're abusing your children, and Child Protective Services can come to you now because you're abusing your children, because you're withholding this, because they are trying to do normalization of not just same sex, but of homosexuality and alternate lifestyles here. This is law. That's that law that our governor said that one man, one, you know, men and women, homosexuals can marry one another, but there's all this anti-bullying legislation that is in it as well. That's law now. So if I discriminate, and it's coming to the churches, they're coming after the churches. They're doing everything they can to come after the churches to say, because in Canada, Canada right now, churches cannot say they won't do same-sex marriages. It's against the law. So, oh, they won't come after the church. They're doing it. It's over in Holland right now. It's over in Newfoundland. It's all in Europe. Churches cannot, pastors cannot refuse. See, all this started ahead of time. This vote that happened on May 14th. It happened well before people did not show up to vote to make it law. And people think, well, we'll just have more time. No, you won't. They were already. And I said, where's the money coming from? Where's the money coming from all these things? Follow the money and I'll let you know what's going on. We have voter fraud ID. Voter ID fraud here in the state of Minnesota. This is man's wisdom. Man's wisdom says, no, we don't need to check someone's ID at the door. We don't know. Whatever, just sign, do whatever you got to do here. There's going to be more scrutiny on this little petition that people are trying to sign here about a Saints baseball stadium than it is that people come when it comes to vote. This is man's wisdom. When you do not hold the Word of God in your hand, when you do not have Christ as Savior and Lord, or you do not have morality based on the Bible, whether you're a Christian or not, this is what we get. Let me go on and explain here some other things that are going to be happening here. See, this anti-bullying law, before this time, Senator John Marty, a pastor's son, had been deceptively trying to circumvent the people and implement homosexual marriages. Well before this vote in this last in 2012 for the constitutional amendment. He's been going, they've been trying to get this unlawed, but now it's mandated. Mandated all the way. Public schools face challenges in teaching and reading and writing and arithmetic, but now they have to teach. Now they have to teach the normalization. See, it's law now. A man and a man and a woman can be married. So now that's normal. And now the normalization of that is now in sex education. And you know what? The curriculum's already been written. The law comes into August 1st. This fall, do you know how long it takes to publish a book? All this curriculum, they're ready, folks. They're smarter than us. They've been ready and waiting and they've been pouncing. And you just have to get people not to believe in the Bible anymore. You got to get the people to just go away and all these things. And you're saying, what's the use? Here's my question. Liberal conservative, I haven't met one parent today who's ever been said, man, I hope my child turns out to be homosexual. I hope they turn out to be homosexual and they just lead the way and they recruit for me grandkids later in life. I haven't met one person who's ever been that way. I've met people when they find out that there's homosexuals in their family, all of a sudden, hey, I'm for same-sex marriage and I don't want to go against that. We've seen politicians flip-flop all along. But let me give you some statistics here. This is man's wisdom now. This is law. So this is what's coming, folks. This is what's already here. But let me go on with this. See, there's a knowledge and it's going to cause you a lot of sorrow, but I'm going to give you some hope at the end there, okay? While the mainstream media want to make this lifestyle out to be normal, healthy behavior, we want to make you aware of, to make this a healthy behavior. Captain William Riddle of the Los Angeles Police says 30,000 sexually abused children in Los Angeles were victims of homosexuals. That's just the third, there's more than that. But 30,000 of them were abused and victimized by homosexuals. About one third of the sexual abuse cases among children are committed by homosexuals. And about half of all such cases among foster children are committed by homosexual providers. Please consider that less than 2% of America considers itself gay. Here's the other thing with this legislation. Now that marriage is okay between a man and a man and a woman, there's no problem with adoption now. So forget being foster carers. Plenty of homosexuals are foster care providers. It allows them access, folks. And that's here in the state of Minnesota, and I work with the police, and we see this all the time. But now they're okay to adopt, so they can just go to the baby mill and now adopt. No longer have to be foster. 22 years ago, when I moved back to the Midwest, if you were in a mixed marriage, you couldn't adopt in the state of Minnesota. Do you know what a mixed marriage was 22 years ago? A Catholic and a Lutheran. That was a mixed marriage. By law, in the state of Minnesota, you could not legally adopt. Well, that's gone. They worked that one out. They worked all these other things to get out. Who's they? I'll get to that in a moment here. 50% of the calls to a hotline to report queer bashing involve domestic violence, homosexuals beating up other homosexuals. So there's this hotline because, you know, all these homosexuals are going to be, there's going to be this queer bashing. All this stuff's going to go on. The majority of homosexuals calling other up because they're being beaten up in domestic violence by other homosexuals. They're the ones using the hotline. 33% of homosexuals admit to minor adult sex. Adult and children. Gets worse. There's a notable homosexual group consisting of thousands of members known as the North American Man-Boy Love Association, NAMBLA. This is a child-molesting homosexual group whose cry is, sex before 8 is too late. I don't want you to go to their website, but it's there. This group has been seen marching in most of the major homosexual parades across the United States. Pastor Seth from Fargo's here. Sometimes we go into California in June for the pastor's conference on Sunday, and we got to pick up guys, and I just take them through West LA. And that weekend is usually gay day parade. And these homosexuals are here, and they're parading. Sometimes we get caught in traffic, but these are the things they're doing. This is, they're saying, this is NAMBLA. They have signs out there, 8 is too late. Here's other things. Homosexuals commit about 33% of all reported child molestations in the United States. 73% of all homosexuals have had sex with boys under 19 years of age. Many homosexuals admit that they are pedophiles. This love between men and boys is the foundation of homosexuality. And at least 20% of homosexuals approve of homosexual sex between children and adults. Because homosexuals can't reproduce, they naturally resort to recruiting children. Homosexuals can be heard chanting. I have heard this. Pastor Seth has heard this. We've been through West Hollywood and California there. This is what they chant. 10% is not enough. Recruit, recruit, recruit. See, there's this misnomer out there that 10% of the world's population, 10% of America is homosexual. These are signs. These are shirts that they wear in their homosexual parades. Do you ever see that on the news? 10% is not enough. Recruit, recruit, recruit. You see, if you can stomach it, don't eat real big. Take Pepto-Bismol with you, Alka-Seltzers and Rolaids. Try to evangelize at these homosexual gay day parades, and you're not going to be able to because you're just going to go, I see why God stoned Sodom and Gomorrah and the things that they do. The things they do in these gay parades and stuff like that is just totally pornographic and nude, and the cops do nothing about it. Do you know what the solution was in Loring Park in Minneapolis? Because parents were complaining that there was all this used condoms, there was all this paraphernalia, there was all this stuff, and homosexuals were abusing and beating and raping people at night. Do you know what the Minneapolis Police Department decided to do? They talked to the homosexual community and said, look, you get it at night, families get it during the day. That's their solution. The Boy Scouts next month are going to vote about homosexual scout leaders. This is the compromise that they came up with. It's probably what they're going to vote on. It says that any boy that identifies as being a gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever, can be in the Boy Scouts. But when they're 18, you're out of the Boy Scouts anyways, and you can't be a scout leader. That's going to be their compromise. After a couple of years, well, if you already have that, why not have gay? Why are you trying to come after the Boy Scouts and all these little things? Big Brothers of America a few years ago shut down because they wouldn't allow homosexual men to be big brothers. They were sued, and before they were sued, and before it went to the Supreme Court, Big Brothers of America just shut down. They shut them down. Why do you want to act? Because they need access. They need to recruit. These are the things that are happening there, folks. So they want to get into the Boy Scouts. They want to get into positions of that they can get to these young children. And now it is law in the state of Minnesota that this will be taught as normalization. There's a group out there called the Lesbian Gay Avengers. The Lesbian Avengers. DC Lesbian Avengers. And you can go to their website. I encourage you not to. On their website, they're talking about how they're going to recruit and how they recruit young girls so they can be lesbians. They need to be in some. Understand this. In Connecticut last week, this girl's going to get her job back. She's a special ed teacher. But she was found on the internet videoing bestiality. Students saw it. Everyone saw it. The principal fired her. She will be getting her job back. You see, because gay marriage is allowed in Connecticut as well. And this whole thing's. Minnesota amped it up more than all the other states. They not only said same-sex marriage okay, but we're going to put in anti-bullying legislation and we're going to put in safe schools amendments. That means gay, lesbian, transgender kids who identify as that way, they're going to be safe in school and this will be taught. The other thing that will be taught, all volunteers, all staff, everyone in the public school system every year has to go to diversity training to teach how this is a normal lifestyle. If you disagree, you're fired. This is the law of the land in the state of Minnesota. This is where we're at. They're going to get you in homeschooling too, by the way. They're going to get you. They're working on it. They're working on the churches and pastors. I already get it. I get it all the time. How to avoid from having to do a same-sex marriage and all that kind of stuff. I'm just not going to do it. But every one of you here has promised to visit me at least one time, right? All right. I'm looking for cellmates. But understand this. This is man's wisdom. And you know something, folks? It's nothing new. It was in Solomon's day as well. This was going on. And you know what? Go with me to chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes as we finish up here. That's knowledge that's just too hard for you to take. It causes sorrow. This is happening in King Solomon's day, and King Solomon, understand this, is just reflective of the culture of the day. Look at the politicians, look at our current president, look at the various administrations. Folks, it's just reflective. How could a person like this become president? How could these morals, how could this law be passed? Because people aren't following the Bible. When you remove the Ten Commandments from school to make room for the metal detectors, and people aren't reading about thou shalt not kill and do those things. There's a policeman's memorial on the Capitol grounds. And on it, it has Matthew 5:8, blessed are the peacemakers, for they be called the children of God. That monument almost didn't get put up because the association, a private association, says, look, we want this on the Capitol grounds. It's a memorial there. And when that stone was seen there, and allegedly, oh, no, you can't have scripture on it. You can't have scripture on it. It said, no, free access to the law. Free equal access. We get access to this. And they said, well, you've got to take that off and we're not going to do it. And they finally said, fine, we're gone. And they stood up to the legislators. They stood up to the little, bullying tactics there. And they won. And that's there. You can go and see scripture. All through the Capitol buildings, by the way. But there you can see a memorial that was put there quite a few years ago. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they be called the children of God. And that's the law enforcement memorial for all the fallen officers. 249 officers have fallen in the line of duty in 130 years of Minnesota's policing history. These are the things, folks. It's a fight that's worth fighting for. Go with me to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 8. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, debater, arguing with himself. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. He even gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. He did. Even in his sin, we can learn. Look, the Bible does not fail to record the sins of godly men and women and also their successes. The book of Ecclesiastes is not doctrine. You're not going to be basing things like, make a meal for laughter, wine makes life merry, but money's the answer for everything. Ecclesiastes 10:19. That's just these rambling, like, what? This is crazy talk. And so here, vanities of vanities. he still could give some good advice. He finally came back to, again, to the Lord. We see at the end of his life there. After 1,000, and again, there was no peace after this is kingdom. His kingdom divided. He continually gave his heart away. What did he start to marry other women? What did he start to do? He started to build their temples of Baal and Ashtaroth right there in Jerusalem on the hills. You can look at chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. Right there on the hills in the site of the temple, building these to all his many wives' gods. And the preacher sought, verse 10, to find out acceptable words that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblers, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. Much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion. How do I know he came to his senses and came to a conclusion? It says right here, I read the Bible. See, that's it. It's just that easy, right? Here's the conclusion. After all these 11 chapters and all these verses, what does it come to? He says here, of the whole matter, the conclusion, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now that word duty is in italics right there. That's just the translators, the Bible, King James translators, trying to help us know that's our duty. But the actual translation is, to fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. That's what makes a person whole. That's the whole of man. Now it is our duty to keep these things. I understand that's the emphasis on that word there, but the actual in the Hebrew is the whole of man. So what does that mean? It's our duty. And you see, if Solomon would have feared God and kept his commandments, we wouldn't have the book of Ecclesiastes, would we? I'm okay not having the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm okay not looking into all the sexual deviance and all the perversion and all the highs and the lows and the walk. I'm okay with not having this knowledge. I'm okay with just having the knowledge like the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example for I follow Christ. I like that one. But understand this, for God, look, verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You guys understand that? The laws and the land and man's wisdom and things is going away. Understand this, that we can vote these guys out of office, but how'd they even get in office? First of all, why is there even a king? There's not even supposed to be a king. Do you understand what Solomon's going through? It shouldn't even happen because there never should have been a king. It was set to destruction back in Deuteronomy 17. And then they did ask for a king, and God gave him the people's choice award. We had King Saul. And then after that, he says, okay, look, you want a king? Why don't you let me pick this one? You're really bound and destined, and you really want a king. Let me give you one after my own heart. But yet we know he's an adulterer and a murderer and a liar and a thief and all that kind of stuff, but yet he knows how to repent. And his son even saw all that. And yet brought all that compromise. I had all that wisdom, really, I know, I had all that knowledge, but no way to apply that. This is our goal, and this is what I want to end with today, folks, is this. We need to fear God and keep His commandments. If we do that, we can share that with others. And then maybe these inerrant pastors' sons or these liberals who, again, think that they are Christians or whatever, and we can lead them to Jesus Christ. Let's just get everybody saved. Do you know the history of the Midwest? Do you know Whitfield and Finney in the 1700s and the 1800s came through the Midwest on horseback? They would come into a town and preach, and everybody would get saved. The bars and the whorehouses would go away. The police department would shrink. People, whole communities got together and they repented. And those who didn't want to repent, well, there was another town for them. What do you think Iowa's for? Do you understand that? There's some other place to go. I was going to say fire, but that's what I was for. Do you understand? They came. It can happen, folks. So I do all I can by the law of the land. I'm signing petitions, doing something, vote, whatever. I'm going to vote my conviction to do those things. But I know ultimately the only thing that's going to happen is if everyone comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and then we have a representative that would be representative of my morals and values, that's who I want. That's who I want. We didn't have the best choices to choose from his last elections. But Senator Dan Hall, friend of mine, known for years, police chaplain, pastor, minister, finally got sick and tired of it, ran it, and he's a state senator out of Burnsville. On the 13th, on the day before, he gave a great 12-minute speech. You can look at it online. Senator Dan Hall, Burnsville, Minnesota. And just played everything out, biblically and also economically, how this was a bad law. I still didn't listen. Sent him an email. Said, hey, I love you, bro. Appreciate your stand. Can I share a cell with you? because his speech on the 13th, after May 14th, became hate speech. And he's a senator. He's not protected like I am as a clergy for right now. He had to get all those shots in. I'm looking for cellmates. But you know what? I'm going to lead as many people as I can to Jesus Christ. Let us all fear God and keep His commandments, or each and every one of us will write our own book of Ecclesiastes. Let us fear God and keep His commandments and teach others the same. And understand this, it's all going to be judged before God. So whatever's happening here, whatever our governor's doing, whatever stuff like that, I know on the other side of this, there's judgment coming. And all the homosexuality and everything it's doing, all it's doing, if you know anything about history, it just signs the end of our civilization of America and what we're about. You know, Iraq, they're still going through problems here, trying to come up with their own constitution. I like the suggestion that we should give them ours. We're not using it. You know what? Let me teach you something about gravity. Well, God will. You keep throwing rocks at God, He's going to teach you something about gravity. Hey, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for today.